I did not mean defective. That was not the word I meant to pick when I was talking about how women think. I think the word I was...
What was the word you were thinking of,
I think
Bob?
The word was unique.
How about the word different?
Yeah, that'll work too.
Different.
Women think differently than men. And
different,
how did you say it?
And different is not wrong.
It's just different.
It's just different.
And but see, there's still something that keeps coming back. You remember Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady?
He
had this song, "Why Can't a Woman Be More Like a Man? Men are so logical, they're so this, they're so that. Why can't a woman be more like a man?" And haven't you ever found yourself just wondering, why can't you just think more like me?
Now, you know, we marry our wives because they're different. And after we marry them, we then go about the process of changing them, all right, to try to make them into more like us.
Uh-huh.
And if they did, they would lose their mystery.
Well, you know, the wedding ceremony is actually set up to predispose us to want to change our wives. You know that, right? It's set up this way. It starts off with the bride standing at the end of the aisle, and then she walks up to the altar. And while she's doing that, someone is singing a hymn. And in the groom's mind, there's this whole idea, I'll alter him. I'll alter him. I guess that's in the bride's mind. Never mind.
Let's get on with our guests. It is a bad joke. We have a couple of guests who join us again on Family Life today. Shanti and Jeff Feldhahn. Welcome back, Jeff and Shanti.
Thanks.
Glad to have you back. They've written a book called For Men Only, A Straightforward Guide to the Inner Lives of Women. And Jeff is an attorney, so this book is well crafted. The words are well shaped to communicate to men so they can better understand their wives.
This is your closing argument, right?
And there is a legal disclaimer on the end of the book.
What I liked about the book, did you notice that right there at the front, the quick start guide?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You can notice
where mine's open right now.
You can read the first, what, 7 or 8 pages of this book. You got the whole thing, right? I mean, in man terms, you got the whole thing.
Absolutely right.
In woman terms, you don't have the feeling. You don't have the experience. You don't have all the nuances. But for a guy, you got it, right?
Well, we had to realize that most guys don't read books like this. So how can we get it to them in bite-sized pieces so that they can digest it and learn something?
It's a great part of the book. Great feature.
And what they've done in the book is they've really revealed the result of focus groups, research of more than 3,000 respondents around the country, where they've talked to women about helping men better understand them. And yesterday we talked about the first result of 6 findings that you came up with, and that's that the deal is not closed. The deal isn't done.
And the idea there is that in the heart of a woman, there is a longing to be reassured that the love that a husband has expressed to his wife is for real, and it's going to continue, and it's permanent. And Shanti, you've said that when there's conflict or when there's withdrawal or stress or preoccupation, it raises doubts in the hearts of a wife.
It really does, and we know that it's probably not particularly logical, but we also just feel it. Honestly, even the most secure woman can have this feeling rise up. Does he still love me? Are we still okay? And so the thing that Jeff and I, one of the magic bullets that we like telling guys, because they're all about, just tell me what to do.
Right.
What do I do about it?
Right.
And honestly, the thing that really helped Jeff the most was learning, and the survey, by the way, backed this up, that if in the middle of a conflict, a husband will just say a few words, it'll make everything better. And those words are something like, honey, I'm angry, and I need my space, but I want you to know we're okay. And then it makes it so much easier for us as a wife to give him the space that he needs, and because that one statement has reassured us.
You know what that makes me think of, hearing them say that at the Weekend Remember conference, where we're talking with couples about conflict and how things get locked up, to recognize that in the midst of conflict, it's not just the two of you who are involved, but there is an enemy who wants your marriage to dissolve. And so we've counseled a lot of couples to look at each other in the midst of conflict and say, you are not my enemy. And the other one will say, you are not my enemy. And there's something about that that lets some of the pressure out of the balloon, and you can move to resolution a whole lot quicker.
And the phrase, we're okay, really takes care of what is in the soul of a woman. She wants to know that she's secure.
Yeah. And it's and it, apparently, according to Jeff and the other guys, they don't realize that that's even in doubt. They don't realize that that's what's rising up in her.
Jeff, did you realize, as you were doing your research and starting to go through this, did you realize that your wife and most women are multitaskers?
I realized that I was confused oftentimes by conversations that we'd have, by things that we would do together, and I didn't know what to attribute it to. I just thought she's emotional, and as a result of her emotions kind of running haywire at times, they create all of these other issues.
We guys tend to be pretty focused on whatever the task at hand is. But for our wives, whatever the task at hand is, there are three or four other things that are kind of swirling around all at the same time.
Well, it's what's happened all day. I mean, it's the context of her life, her children, her place of work, her home, her relationships with her parents, with her friends, her family members. You're smiling, Shanti.
I'm sorry. We tell guys in the book that women have all these windows open. You know, we're like a computer desktop with 20 windows open at once. And as you're talking, Dennis, I'm like, oh man, I hope so-and-so remembers to pick the kids up from school today.
Your window
you just
is open.
Another window.
You know what? Jeff's been here thinking about the radio program, and that's all you, but you hadn't even thought about the kids in the last hour, have you?
Not a bit. Unfortunately, I hate to say it. And the fact is, I would have thought about the kids at some point,
sure,
but I would have done it sequentially. I would have finished up my task that I was doing here and then thought about the kids, made, you know, plans for that, and then taking that care of, and then moved on to something else.
Okay, what is it with this 20 windows open at the same time thing? What's going on?
Well, the analogy we use in the book is like guys being like a computer with one window open at a time. You work on whatever you're working on. You click the little X and you close it and you move on to the next thought or the next emotion or the next task, whatever it is. And we women, we have 7, 8, 20, whatever it is, windows open, and we're bouncing back and forth between them. And the difference really for most of us is that we can't just, when something's really bothering us, we can't just click the X and make it go away.
Just not think about it.
Yeah. Jeff would always, you know, it was one of these things that guys often say, just don't let it bother you, sweetheart. And we're clicking the X and all it's doing is maybe minimizing it, but it's like spyware or something on your computer. It'll just pop back up again.
I've got a great illustration of it. Barbara and I watched a popular Fox Network show the other night, 24. So here's Jack Bauer, who's conquering the world every 2.5 minutes, and a new drama is occurring. And one of the characters in there, besides Jack, was, in this particular episode we were watching, was his wife. And she was in trouble. And, of course, the episode's over, and we move on with life, and we're doing something. And about two and a half hours later, we're getting ready to go to bed, and Barbara's preoccupied. And I'm saying, what's wrong, sweetheart? She goes, well, I'm just concerned about Jack's wife. I'm going, Jack's wife? But here's the thing I've learned about my wife.
Now, 24 fans will know he was watching season one because Jack's wife.
There you go.
I'm not going any farther than that.
That's, okay. Don't give it away, Bob. Don't give it away. But the point was, is that my wife is visual. And through her eye gate, she's collecting data, and it's why we can be having a conversation around something, and I'm totally focused on her, and she's looking up at the corner at the wallpaper in our where we're having our meal, and she's going, you know, the house needs to be fixed. And so that window pops open, and she starts designing and decorating all this stuff in the house that needs to be fixed. And so you're nodding, Jeff. You've been in that conversation, not with my wife.
Numerous times.
Yeah. But we don't realize that they can have all these windows, and you call them pop-ups, that cloud the screen, and you wonder how any communication occurs. But a wife, a woman, has that capability.
But, see, here's the thing, is you guys, no offense, you think of it as clouding the screen. And for us, it's just us. I mean, this is just everyday life. You know,
for a man, though, it does cloud the screen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We don't minimize the one window. We make it big. And it's the total focus of the deal at that point.
Absolutely.
So we're talking to our wives, and here's all these things. And so we filter that through ours, and we have to remember how we began this broadcast. Different is not wrong. It's just different.
And I think the shock to me during all of the research was the frequency that they would have this experience, that it was ongoing. It wasn't just a one-time thing, and the magnitude of the feeling of it. For a guy, he can experience this to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a bad day at work. Something's wrong with his industry. He's worried whether he's going to be able to provide for his family in the future. That's a thought that comes back. And he may be doing other things with his family during that night, but away from work, he has that reoccurring thought coming back and time again. So we understand it, but it's usually reserved for those big events, for the magnitude subjects that, you know, engross us.
Right. You were having dinner with a couple, and a wife had a pop-up in the middle of dinner, and nobody knew it until her husband kind of intuitively picked up on it, right?
That's right. I was visiting with a colleague, having dinner, and the husband, when I'd arrived, was doing some work in the living room with one of those little fire starter gadgets.
Uh-huh.
Got done with that, walked into the dining room where dinner was laid out. We sat down, and the wife said, "Bob, what'd you do with the fire starter?" And he said, "Well, I left it in the living room." She said, "But the kids are in there." And he said, "Don't worry. They can't do anything with it. It's got that safety mechanism on it. They're not strong enough. Nothing will happen." And she said, "But, okay." So we started dinner.
Right.
I, having just done the research for this particular chapter, said, "You know what this reminds me of?" And I explained the whole issue of an open window. And she said, "That's it." And immediately got up, got the fire starter, set it in the kitchen, out of the kids' reach, and said, "Okay, now I can enjoy dinner."
And the thing to me that's so interesting that the guys, both Jeff and this friend, realized is if she hadn't been encouraged to take what was really a 10-second action, she wouldn't have been able to enjoy the next 2 hours of dinner. And the thing, honestly, that I tell guys now when we're, you know, talking to groups of maybe men and women on this is, think about it, guys. You have a couple options here. You can either say, "Just don't let it bother you." And you know what? If the window is open, remember, she can't necessarily close it. It's not the way we're wired.
It's not a matter of just saying to her, just
don't.
Just minimize it or click it and take it away.
Yeah. Because we just don't often have the capacity to be able to do that. It keeps popping up. So you can either do that, or you can say, "Okay, go ahead and get it. I know it's going to be bothering you." Or even better is actually say, "You know what? I can tell this is going to be bothering you. Let me go get it for you." And it's funny. I was just a few weekends ago talking to a mixed group of men and women. And when I said that, all the women stood up and started clapping. And you could see all the guys looking at them in utter shock, like, "What?" And think how simple that is. But, oh, it makes the woman feel absolutely adored and understood. And it's such a simple thing. So guys, anytime you find yourself saying, "Don't think about it," change that to thinking, I could earn some brownie points here.
Okay, here's the question, Shawnee, and I'm very sensitive to the fact that there are three men in this studio with one woman.
Yeah.
All right, okay. We asked Barbara to come in, but she had some other matters she had to attend to, and she couldn't come in. But she would laugh at this question. There seems to be an event in the lives of every married couple where it's not just that there are a few windows open for a woman. It's like all of a sudden the windows are open all over the place and the man literally does not know what to do. It seems like when a woman lays down in bed and has a few moments to finally unwind at the end of the day,
well, it's because you're finally able to sort of put everything else you were doing that was taking your brain aside, and all of a sudden now your windows have a chance to filter through all these other things.
So what would you advise a man to do with those windows at that point?
Well, let me tell you, here's the thing, honestly, that is so hard, Jeff tells me, for guys. But honestly, to be able to say, to resolve them, the easiest way to resolve them is just to let her talk through them, even if it's just for a couple of minutes. I'm seeing all these, like, deer in the headlights faces.
I'm going, but it's never a couple of minutes, Shawnee.
Well, here's
the
reality.
Let's be real.
Okay, can I tell you the Okay, can I tell you then the secret bullet to this one?
Yeah, yeah, please.
All right, guys, here's what you need. Okay, you ask her how her day was way before bedtime. You ask her over dinner. You ask her at 7 o'clock at night when you get home, and you let her work through those things. Guess what? They won't need to be worked through later.
So you're saying if you can somehow get those windows dealt with earlier, they won't be there?
That's right. Because all it is a matter of what we need to resolve them, which in most cases, not all, but in most cases, is just to talk about them.
Okay, but you know what I'm talking about here, where, you know, you're cuddling a little bit and you're nuzzling a little bit, and all of a sudden your wife will say, I've been thinking about this summer. And you go, thinking about this
that
summer?
That's not what I think it was. You're thinking about it right now.
And it's just kind of like, what do you do as a guy there? You go, well, let's talk about that, sweetheart, for a few minutes. Huh?
Okay. I will admit that is correct. That is not the right time. But you can say, let's talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah. Okay. Now that
she knows that you're not trying to avoid it.
Right.
There you go.
That's good.
So the way you help your wife close a window is, as a man, you click on it and you maximize it. And you focus on that window with her and allow her to kind of unpack what's in the window. And then you kind of help her shut it down. And then you move to the next one, right? And you maximize it.
Are we getting this? Is this the way you do this?
You have to also, as a guy, come to it with a point of, I'm not going to be defensive about this too. Because, quite frankly, some of the windows, the most important windows that are popping up in her head, perhaps involve you or your relationship. And as a man, perhaps when the wife wants to talk about the relationship, that's when we become perhaps even the most defensive.
Mm-hmm. Give us an illustration from your marriage, Jeff.
Shanti? Can you do it?
You got an open window on this one, Shanti? Anything popping up for you right here?
You know, honestly, for me, it comes at it as one of the subjects we were already talking about this week, which is that there could be something in my head that got triggered, sort of that, oh man, is our relationship okay, you know? And that may not have been resolved just because maybe he's angry or he's still a little quiet. That's a big one. And so honestly, being able to just say, you know, I'm sorry. This is something that Jeff does all the time because now he knows. He's like, oh man, you've got another window open, don't you? Yep. And he'll do this great thing now that he knows he needs to, where he'll actually say, you know what, I know that I've been a little withdrawn, or I know I've been a little grouchy, and I'm sorry. And that's really all it takes.
Window closed?
Window closed. Yeah. This is, again, part of the theme that we've been saying all the way through this book is guys think understanding women is impossible, and it's really not rocket science. This stuff is really simple. It's just maybe you haven't been used to it.
It does work, but the thing I want to caution men with right now, because this would be the mistake I would do. I would think, okay, this is real simple. I'm going to go home and I'm going to click on a couple of windows and check that off. Well, if you haven't been doing this, there may be a number of windows open. Mm. In fact, as you click off one, there may be a pop-up that occurs behind it that is the result of neglect.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
In terms of not depositing love in the life of your wife over a period of weeks, months, or even years.
It may take more than just a, gee, I'm sorry, I've been a little grouchy lately and the window closed, right?
It may take a, you know, sweetheart, as I listen to this, I'm sorry. It is clear that I have not been the husband I need to be. And, I want to be there for you. And if we have to take the next few days or a few weeks and begin to open some windows and talk about them and interact around them, I'm committed to you. I want to express my love to you because I want us to go the distance.
And every guy is motivated by wanting peace in his household. And these are ways that he can achieve that. So it may take some work. You didn't start, you know, running a marathon the very first time you decided to do it. Mm-hmm. It took a little effort. It took a little work, but Scripture commands us that we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church.
Is there not something Microsoft or Google could do to help you guys, you women? You know what I'm thinking?
There's close those windows.
Something we can upload that just would fix this whole problem. That's what I'm looking for. And we have it in our Family Life Resource Center, ladies and gentlemen, the new device that will help your wife close all her windows instantly.
It's this.
We'd sell a lot of those.
We would. I'm telling you. And guys would glaze over. But number one, it's focus. It's looking her in the eyes and listening. Number two, it's handling as many of those windows as she wants to let you into and talk about, and being patient with her. And as we'll talk about later on this week, as Shanti and Jeff write about in their book, it means you don't always try to fix what's in the window. Because as a man, we move toward being Mr. Fix-It when the window pops open, when our wives, first and foremost, just need us to focus and listen.